Good afternoon. This is Ginger Robbins leading the Shack meeting, our first one for the year. The time is 4:04 and the date is October the 23rd, 2024. And I call the meeting to order. Everyone will please sign in on the agenda and we'll get started. Okay, on the agenda today, it says that the subjects to be discussed are considered upon, which any formal actions may be taken are listed below. So we'll start with the legal updates. And the first thing you see is the fentanyl poisoning month, which is October. And as per House Bill 3144, hi.
Max has arrived.
That's okay. That's okay.
Mr. Come here.
As per House Bill 3144, October is Fentanyl Poisoning Awareness Month. And there is also a Fentanyl Poisoning Awareness Day, but that's not until May. Basically, what happens is in October, I will put something out on the daily announcements, which I have not done yet. We have daily announcements every day. Jackson reads announcements with Emma Bohinski. And so we will, starting next week, do something for the week to end in October about fentanyl awareness. Then it says House Bill 3908 is Tucker's Law, and that's new. And here's the deal on that. Tucker's Law adds to the duties of Shack the requirements to recommend to our local school board the appropriate grade levels and curriculum for instruction in the dangers of opioids, including addiction to and abuse of synthetic opioids such as fentanyl. It further requires each school district to annually provide to students in grades 6 through 12 research-based instruction on fentanyl abuse prevention and drug poisoning awareness. The required instruction in fentanyl prevention and drug poisoning awareness must include the following: suicide prevention, prevention of the abuse of an addiction to fentanyl, awareness of local school and community resources, and any processes involved in accessing those resources, and health education that includes information in substance use and abuse, including youth substance use and abuse. It says the instruction may be provided by a public health agency or organization that employs mental health professionals or an employer agent of these entities. So I'm going to pause because I just said a whole lot. Last year, we received correspondence. When I say we, the admin, we received correspondence from, I have a tab here, National Institute on Drug Abuse. And it's pretty good. It's opioids, what you need to know. This is all geared for schools. It comes with lesson plans. They say these are guided for kids in 4th through 6th grade. These are guided for kids in 9th through 12th. And so I like that. Some of the things we need to take action on, though, are the law requires 6th through 12. Do y'all want to push that information down younger or keep it 6th through 12?
We're the ones that knows that.
Public information about
what is fentanyl, what are opioids, suicide awareness.
I think we should keep that for 6 to 12.
If it was just opioids, I'd say maybe, because now they've been eating candy and stuff like that, which I think would be something that'd be good to touch on, but I don't think the suicide awareness would be good for
I agree. Six. I don't think it's age appropriate either with the suicide awareness. Last year, I went in and personally delivered to the 7th graders the little website from this. It had a little short video. It was during LEAP.
And I asked the class, do y'all know what fentanyl is? Nobody in there knew. No one. Which I thought was good. It's a small group. But then I was, you know, just walking through the little video, and it was very light. It was very, oh, it's a drug. Yes, these are drugs. And that was pretty much it. But then we did have a lady, I want to say her name was Sharon, and she came to the school. Do you remember in the middle gym? She had the TV up and her son.
Yes.
That was impactful. Did we do 7 through 12 or 9 through 12?
I think it was 7 through 12.
It was good. It was free. I don't know why it was free for us. Daisy got a grant, but she does normally charge. And it was good. And she showed, like, this much fentanyl kills 100 people, at this much kills, and it was a tiny amount. She talked about how you could get one pill with nothing and one that will kill you because of the way they mix it in bats and it doesn't get all stirred up well. And that was eye-opening. I didn't know that. So that kind of leads back into, do you want to go with what was shared by the National Institute on Drug Abuse? I did find another site. This is called T-Facts, and it's another, it has fact sheets, fentanyl. It also has what parents need to know about fake pills. We could put a link on the website as well. Do y'all care? I know you care, but like, do you want me to find something like that was sent last year and share it again and leak for the kids? Do you want to research it and look and find something different? I do think it needs to be age specific though.
You're the one that knows more than we do. I say leave it up to you.
Then I'm going to use what the state sent me last year to share with the kids. We'll push it out in LEAP. We have a LEAP classroom. The teachers know to log in and they'll show it one day, have a discussion. We can do that. Would y'all like me to try to find somebody else or get with Daisy and have another assembly? Do you think every year, every other year? What are your thoughts?
I think the one last year was impactful for everyone. Mm-hmm. So, just something like that.
Okay.
Would be pretty good.
I vote every year just because right now I think it's so much more susceptible to this at this point. Just from being in a hospital and seeing what's happening and what's happening. I mean, this is very real.
It is.
It's very close to us. So.
That lady, I mean, everybody's attention, she had us all on the edge of our seat. I mean, this was a kid that was an athlete and a good runner, and he didn't.
She lost her
son.
Is that what?
Mm-hmm. And, like, she was just saying things like, we're just an average family. Like, we're high achieving. He was going to college, you know, all the things. And he thought he was trying to get a muscle relaxer. And because he had hurt his back or something, I don't remember what the deal was, and that is not what he got. And so, you know, it's just devastated the whole family. And so she made it her mission then to try and educate everybody about don't take anything. Don't take anything.
I think that is very impactful.
It makes more of an impact than showing a video during the week.
But at least the video would at least, hey, do you know about this?
Yeah.
And they can be more related with her.
And I like the fact sheet. It says what parents need to know about fake pills. It's easy. That's an easy thing that I could link on the website.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people look, but. Okay, but here's the bigger one. We do not do anything currently for suicide prevention or suicide awareness. So we don't have to take action on it today, but that was going to be a task I was going to kind of ask the committee to think about it. What grades.
So Daisy doesn't.
She knows, like, where we are is, it's more social-emotional learning. She does all the SEL. It's a
positive approach. Anybody who comes to her, she has resources. We have all the mental health resources and handouts, and she does referrals. But right now, we don't do anything on a large scale of...
That's what I feel like that would be more for someone who is trained. Sometimes I think that just gives them ideas.
You know, years ago, this is going to show my age, there was a program that came called Why Suicide? Years ago. And they went around schools. I don't know if there's something like that available. If there are, I can reach out to the service center and find out what's going on, what they're using. I would want to watch it or have one of us watch it before we bring it to the school.
Absolutely.
Well, then, if it's okay, I know how to move forward with the fentanyl awareness. Can we come back to the suicide one with maybe some answers and take action at the next meeting? That'll give me time to research, maybe give y'all time to look into it too. If you put feelers out, maybe ask your son over at his school, do you know what they do? Because it is now part of the law. And then again, what's the appropriate age group? That's the fentanyl, is 6 through 12.
Okay.
The suicide, let me double check so I get it correct. What did I just do with that? Oh, no, it was on this tab. Got a lot of tabs open right here.
So are you supposed to also do something with abuse? I heard you say that, too.
Suicide prevention, it is 6 through 12. It is 6 through 12. Annually provide to students in grades 6 through 12. Okay, no, wait. I misspoke. Let me read it again. It further requires each school district to annually provide to students in grades 6 through 12 research-based instruction on fentanyl abuse prevention and drug poisoning awareness. So we're okay there. Then in addition, it also requires you to bring awareness to suicide prevention. It didn't necessarily say 6 through 12. It may be implying that, but we can always make our recommendations 7 through 12 just for secondary, or 8 through 12 or 9 through 12, because we take it to our school board, what we feel like is appropriate for our school.
Okay.
But the fentanyl is 6 through 12.
Does posters count?
Yes.
Education?
Yes. Like the suicide hotline.
Yes,
and we do have that. I've misspoke. We do have one of those.
Oh, okay.
We have a suicide poster up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we met that. Okay. So we'll put that on the next one. And like, I'll reach out to the service center. I'm going to go next week and I'll get a list of recommended things that they're doing too. And just so we can see. Okay, next thing on the agenda is, it says State Bill 629, which is the Texas Education Code 38.222, the Maintenance, Administration, and Disposal of Opioid Antagonists. Basically what that means is each school district must have a plan for the maintenance, administration, and disposal of opioid antagonists. We have Narcan nasal spray in both the school offices. I did visit with Miss Englert, and she said, yes, they have theirs in their nurse's station. I did locate ours with Callie. She has hers in the little front room in the office as well in the nurse's station. So they are accessible. It's a nasal spray. I also did follow through. If you suspect that that is the case and you give it to someone, it will not hurt them if you give it to them and if it's not needed. So that's good. And then the disposal of it, our plan is we follow the law. Within 10 days, we must report to all the people that we report to, admin, school board, and then we report to the health department that we've used it, that sort of thing. So we have a plan. Okay, number two, nutrition food services. So Danielle could not be here, but that says, just to share with everybody, of course, we have free breakfast, and it's provided to all students daily. I don't know if you know how that works, but they, in the cafeteria, have crates, and they deliver them to everybody's classroom, and there's free breakfast for everyone, and we just ask that everybody take it. If they don't want it, then they can save it later for the food table, and other kids can have it throughout the day. On the secondary side, it was slower to catch on, I think. But now I'm seeing kids eating bananas and stuff second period. So maybe they're not hungry first, but they're snacking throughout the day. Mm-hmm. So that's good. And this year, free lunch is available to everyone. So that's been a good thing. That is new.
Does that include staff?
No. No. And I think our lunch is $4 now. Still a pretty cheap meal. curriculum, just we use Major Clarity. It's utilized weekly, and thus far the student interest surveys have all been complete. Major Clarity is a CCMR type program that we get through an EAF grant. The kids go on, they answer interest surveys like, what do I think I want to be when I grow up? It gives you jobs you might be suited for. We still have them do it yearly. They did it last year and this year to see if their interests change at all. And then they can go on and individually work and see, oh, if I wanted to be in engineering, these are the things I would have to do. If I wanted to be a fireman in the service industry, these are the things I would have to do. So I think it's kind of neat. It's something good. They just do that on Wednesdays if there's not something else to do. On Fridays, we have kids watch the College Tour video series. I think that's pretty neat, especially since we're in a rural area. A lot of kids are familiar with Abilene schools, Angelo schools. That's really it, what I've noticed. So to get to see the University of Texas, TWU, Lubbock, and it goes all over the state, but all over the nation, to get to see different campuses, I think is neat. And then last year we talked about the Dave Ramsey curriculum. And I did talk to Missy Pittman, and she does use that. She uses the Dave Ramsey curriculum in her dollars and cents class. So that's good. And then last year, Ms. Pittman also used EAF funds to purchase impairment goggles. And she uses those with her students in the human growth and development class. I've already seen her using them with the kids. She had them in the middle gym maybe 2 weeks ago, and they had different impairment goggles on and trying to throw balls and walk the line. She took them outside to ride a bicycle. It was funny. So, anyway, I think that's fun. Yeah. Okay, so that's some curriculum that we're doing here related to SHAC. Counseling programs. So just a report, we do still have access to TChat. Last year, we had 3 students that took advantage of this counseling opportunity. And if you remember, it's like 5 sessions. It's free of charge. One of those kiddos finished up the sessions, and they did give that student a referral and was able to go ahead and get on in, and that kiddo is still doing weekly counseling, so that's great. We don't have anybody taking advantage of it this year, so maybe, I mean, if somebody needs it, it's available and it works. Our 8th graders attend YAM, which is Youth Aware of Mental Health, on Wednesdays. It's a 5-week program. And just to explain, YAM is a school-based program that helps adolescents develop mental health skills and reduce the risk of suicide. So we are touching on it in eighth grade. The goal is to help students develop coping skills and resiliency and to learn how to recognize and address mental health concerns. The YAM sessions include role-playing, discussions, and informational materials. Students learn how to identify symptoms of depression and suicidality and how to seek help for themselves and their friends. And it is 5 interactive sessions over 5 weeks. Each session is about 45 minutes long. And it says that YAM can help students feel more confident in supporting friends and to recognize when they need support. Students have shown that YAM can reduce the number of suicide attempts and severe suicidal ideation. So, with saying that, we are targeting just one age group. That's been a long-standing thing here. And I don't know, maybe that's enough. Maybe we have mentioned it once. And get it. Mm-hmm. So there's another twist to that. Okay, it says career exploration for our 7th through 12th graders. So we do have a partnership with Shannon Medical for our students to explore health careers. Last year, she was pretty good about being able to work in all of our 7th through 12th graders. She brings the VR sets for them, and they do some virtual reality. This year, it's more with the 11th and 12th graders. But Tracy Terrell out of the service center, she's coming to work with our 7th graders. And not just in healthcare. This is several different careers. So, we are offering the on-site ASVAB scheduled for December 17th. And then we did have the on-site PSAT and SAT scheduled for today, but the internet was out this morning. So we have had to reschedule that for next Monday. What do you think, Jackson? You've taken advantage of getting to take the ACT and SAT on campus. Have you taken them elsewhere?
Yes. I mean, most of mine, which I've taken the ACT probably 4 times off campus here,
mm-hmm.
just to like, and I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate being able to take it in Broad.
It's good.
Just like the school offering it.
I think it's a good, safe way to take it the first time if you're feeling nervous or jittery. To get to take it in your home setting probably offers a level of comfort. So that you feel confident to go take it off-site, too. So, and it's free for the kids, so that's another great thing. Okay, health and fitness. The first Wednesday afternoon of each month, Ms. Englert and I lead the staff in an activity to promote physical and mental wellness. We are calling it Wellness Wednesdays. This is really Ms. Englert's brainchild, and it's been fun. Just another opportunity to have the whole staff come together and take care of ourselves too, you know. One day we made lanyards. The next month we walked at the track twice, just visiting and walking. So that's new this year, so that's good. Our elementary students annually participate in the fitness gram, so that goes on. You know, that assists.
Excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
Wellness Wednesday. Voluntary.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Anybody that wants to attend. The first time, I want to say we had like 13. The walking Wednesdays, we didn't have as many. I think we had 8. That's okay. It was hot. It was kind of hot. We have yoga planned for one of them. Zumba, I think, is going to be planned. Sometimes it's pretty physical, but then other times there'll be a craft or an activity. So, yeah. It's
kind of,
I mean,
they don't have
to. No. But something that we're offering. The fitness gram is the assessment that includes a variety of different health-related physical fitness tests to assist their cardiovascular fitness, muscle strength, muscular endurance, flexibility, and body composition. Coach Davis, Misty Davis, does a good job with that. She takes care of that. Okay. Social emotional learning. This is kind of a recap, But Daisy really does a great job as far as using second step in the classroom. That's with the pre-K through the second graders. She does that every Wednesday. She blocks off her day and she goes into their classrooms. So it's very proactive. And I like it. It is a good program. It teaches how to nurture like positive relationships. They learn how to self-regulate, manage emotions, and there's a lot of talk about meeting goals. She uses Character Strong with students in grades 3 through 6. And that program focuses on a character trait each month. And we actually use this on the secondary side too. Every day at the end of the announcements, like for example, they'll say, and this month's character trait is responsibility. And last month it was something else. And then they read a quote, you know, something about responsibility, integrity, such and such. And then Monique, she spoke to our committee last year. She is our gifted and talented teacher, but she also is a social emotional facilitator. And she works with the kids too. She uses the Breathe for Change program, a lot of yoga, a lot of stretching with them. And so I think that helping kids learn to self-regulate and calm down is a good thing. So anyway, so that's our social-emotional learning piece. Next up, it talks about screenings. We have had our vision, hearing, spinal screenings, and a man named Corey Turner is a school health specialist out of Region 15, and it says he completed 105 hearing and vision screenings pre-K through 7th. He completed 16 spinal screenings, and he will be back again to follow up with any rescreens that are necessary. It went pretty fast. He just clicked right along. So anyway, so that's good. We've done that. Safety and security is always a big thing. InterQuest is who we contract with for canine detection services. And so kind of the way that works is at the beginning of the year, I get with them and I pick dates and they say, yep, we can come. One time they'll come and bring the dog and she'll sweep the lockers and maybe in and out of the classrooms. Another time she's going to come and check the bathrooms and the locker rooms and all the little nooks and crannies. And the next time she'll come and she'll check the parking lots. And so she's been twice. The first time she came, she didn't hit on anything. This time we did the parking lot and she hit on 4 cars, one of which was no big deal. But their canine is amazing. It hits on alcohol, gunpowder. I know, in addition to like fentanyl, cocaine, heroin, drugs, it'll even pick up ibuprofen. So it is a very highly skilled animal, so. Anyway, so she's been here twice. And then Southwest Consortium is who we contract with for our drug testing. And that is a 15-panel test. And they've been here once and will be here again next week, I believe. So, and they came and we had no issues. Our screen was perfect for our kids, and it's random. Anybody that participates in UIL, and not just athletics, but also band, if you show animals, it really is like everybody in the secondary. And so it was good. Yeah, it was good. Okay, so that is kind of a recap and a where we are. Any new business? Well, I have one. Okay. Lots of updates this year. So I got this from the TEA, and it talks about things that we're supposed to do. And it says the minimum standards for bullying prevention policies and procedures implemented by a school district or open enrollment charter school board are
And it talks about early primary students, secondary students, school culture, and then it gets to a local committee. And it says, it requires each LEA campus to establish a committee. Well, we have one, it's SHAC, which must include parents and secondary level students and may be incorporated into an existing committee. Again, that's where we are. But here's what we are called to do. It says, we are to address bullying by focusing on prevention efforts and health and wellness initiatives. So, let me tell you what we have in place, and then if we need to do anything in addition to what's going on, I would like for us to decide if you want more so that we can do more if needed. We have an anonymous bullying link, if you will, on the website that nobody has used since I've been here. Just gonna say, nobody's used it once. The kids are pretty good about coming in and saying, so-and-so is bullying me, or this is going on. There are forms in the office as well, and I've had like maybe one or two done. And they can be anonymous as well. Do we need more?
It sounds like it.
It doesn't sound like much. And I will say, I don't know if parents know how to report bullying. Again, there's a link on the website, but I don't know if they go prowl around, if maybe we need to let people know.
If I had to guess, most parents probably just talk to teachers or administrators.
Mm-hmm. Or community.
Yeah. Put it all
in. Yeah, put it all out there.
Every homeschool person I've talked to, it's because of bullying. That's just a real hard. There's no solution. I don't know.
Well, one of the things that Ms. Englert and I do is to try and really teach what bullying is or isn't. There, sometimes kids are just mean, but is it ongoing? Is it persistent? Is it a single event, though, that makes a huge impact? Is there an imbalance of power? Trying to get to the bottom of, are you truly being bullied, or did you have an event happen? But sometimes that feels like semantics. But it is important with David's Law. If somebody's bullying, we are required to do certain things. Sometimes kids are mean, but it's not bullying. But that's hard to tell a parent. Oh, your kid's not being bullied. Mm-hmm. Well, but if we don't know all the facts, maybe they are. I do feel like we want to get it correct. We want the behavior to stop. We want kids to be nice, you know. But also, we all live here and see each other all day long. Kids that are in grade level classes move all day along together. That's a lot to expect everybody to get along every single day. It's tough. But that is new business.
I can say that for adults. I mean, it's no different. You have the same things, it's just they're older.
And I don't know how to say it. Sometimes it looks like they just bring it on, they deserve it. You know what? It's just real hard to know what's bullying and what's just.
Yeah. Back to the social-emotional learning piece, I think the be responsible, have integrity, be kind, build good character, that's the positive approach, but do we need a different approach? I mean, is it kind of like the fentanyl thing? Do we need a program? Do we need a speaker?
Speaker would be great.
Like something maybe like that. Mm-hmm. That also shows we are trying to be innovative and engaging and just...
And I think... they have those blinders on and they think this is going to be my life forever is, like, this is going to matter so much. But if you look beyond, it's really not.
It's really not.
It's such a small part of your life.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't know. I think a speaker who could bring in examples or talk about it, get the kids interacting.
Okay. Well, while I am at the service center, I will ask about that as well. Who is in our area? And
even if it's like a video that they watch, I think that's better than nothing. Or, what, you know, just if you're being bullied here, click on this. It's something.
Because you've been bullied in a way because of your... I mean, I know you have Jackson. Make fun of you because you're smart. Then it's that bully.
I don't know. I just don't care.
Well, but you could...
And maybe that's another side of it, is not only the bullying, but how you react.
Yes.
Because that is a lot of it, too. Is
That's the education, is how do you react so that you...
Because if you react a certain way, you make it worse, or you can make it where, oh, well, he's not fun to pick on.
Uh-huh.
Now, what did you say? You just ignore it? What was your... Yeah, it was that care. See?
You know, it's a small, small part of your life, and one day you're going to do big things, and they'll still be down here.
Well, and you know who you are, and you know where you're going. You have a good self-image and good self-esteem, which is all part of being able to manage that. But not everybody has that.
Not everybody has that. And you have a good support system.
Uh-huh.
You have that either.
Yeah. Okay, well, I will look into that as well and see if I can find anything interactive and engaging, and maybe that approach as well. Know who you are. How do you deal with those stressors is important.
Because you can't control others, you can only control yourself.
That's right.
As much as we want to, we don't get to.
And
the more you try, the worse it gets.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
I don't really have anything else for this go-around. We've kind of got two things that'll continue over. Do y'all have anything?
I think so. Did you say something? I remember that. I know I missed the last one, but the one before about career, doing some kind of...
We did mention that in the last one. We'd still hope to do a career expo, and I haven't taken any action on it. But okay, I would love to.
I was just curious.
I would love to. Does anybody have a lead person or a point person that, like, I think they used to do it here and it was successful?
Yes.
If I had somebody and I knew who to contact, I think
I'll
I could get
mixed.
Okay.
She went from here to Ballinger and now she's retired.
Oh. Career fair, that's
she
what it was.
She lives at Tuscola. Gibbs.
Gibbs?
Lisa Gibbs? Gosh, she was gone.
Lisa Gibbs.
Might also be
I want to think she's retired.
Okay.
She would be an excellent person just to ask questions because she, I think Lisa was the one that set up the career fair, and it was super.
Okay.
I came up with the ambulance nearly every time, so I walked around, did the whole, the gym was full of, they surrounded the gym, and they were even down the middle. You know, booths, is that our tables?
Yes, uh-huh.
It was amazing for Braun, and I think it was Lisa Gibbs.
Okay.
And she lives in
Tuscola
now. They have moved.
Do you know if, like, any surrounding schools do career fairs? Like, to join in, maybe?
Yeah, but anyway, I think...
I don't know, but I can check.
She...
Okay.
I don't think I have Lisa's telephone number, but she could answer some questions.
Okay. Okay. No,
I
That's
don't
good.
Have, but you, they have it in the. They'll have it in the office.
Okay. Well, we did mention that last time, but then nothing was really done. So hopefully then for our next meeting, I'll have answers on the bully awareness, if there's any kind of speaker or anything for the fentanyl awareness, and then the career fair. Okay. Anything else? Okay, well, I'm going to call this meeting adjourned.